Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class to the church all around the world listening on multiple platforms. We had someone yesterday and someone today earlier who said they could not hear. Do not hesitate to let us know immediately whether or not you can hear, for the message is traveling across this nation and in every country in the world through satellites, through wires, through pipes, through cables. And it is a miracle of God to even get a live message to you, I assure you, not the miracle of man. And we want to make sure you hear. So thank God for those two people who hollered, one yesterday and one today, say, hey, I can't hear. That lets us know the people are eager to hear the word of God. And we thank God for you. Even if it's too low, let us know. And our technicians will get on it. Our technician on one of the cameras was alert to that today, and instantaneously he was on top of it and he fixed it immediately. And the crowd that was on that particular stream let him know they appreciated it. So we're here to serve you. If you can't hear the word of God, let us know. Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 72, key verse, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible reads, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The same temptations you have, other people have them. So you're not alone. That's one of the benefits of being a part of a good Bible-believing church, because everybody's going through the same things. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. If you all have one back here or two back here, just get those, because I don't know. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Beloved, our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 72. This is not only, the temptations are not only common, but people who have been saved for a while are still dealing with the power of temptations. And we see this in the news, do we not? Old men still trying to touch on young women in a wheelchair, still trying to feel on somebody's buttocks. Old nasty men in our society today still trying to do nasty things because they are tempted still, even though they are old. I asked my older preachers, all of my preacher friends are older than I am, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years older than me. I said, now, surely when I get into my 50s, the temptation for beautiful women is going to subside. And they looked at me like I was crazy, and they were not smiling. They said, Preacher, I don't know where you got that from. That's not true. And they in their 60s and 70s. So this is common to man, not only young men, but old men. And today we're focusing on another temptation, and we will be looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class. So you can go to our website at Gospel Light House of Prayer International, GLHOPI.com. Click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout this week. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 now, verse 15, while everybody is still standing. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, and we are nothing without you. We cannot do anything without you. And Lord, we know that many, many people who claim to be believers have forsaken the church. But your holy word predicted this, the great falling away, the apostasy. And we know that even those who are in the church find things such as reading your holy word and praying boring. And for some, exhausting. Many, including preachers, have forsaken the power of preaching. We thank you, Lord, for those churches where the shout has not gone out. The pulpit is still hot. The word of God is still king in the pulpit. And the baptismal waters are still moving. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would help us to pray for revival, to humble ourselves before you, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and get back to you, our first love, and get back to and back on the firing line. Deliver us all from temptation, evil, and sin. Revive us again. Forgive us of our sins. Deliver us, Lord, from all of our troubles. And Lord, you know what they are and where they lie. Lord, we pray that you are thwart to the plans of those who are plotting against us, trying to hinder us. Rebuke and bind the satanic spirit of the devil, his demons and his hosts, Lord, from the minds of the people outside of here who are lining up against us, and those who are on the inside who are Judases lining up against us, and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Continue to reveal to us the plots and plans of these wicked, evil, and ungodly people, and the devil himself seeking to silence the preaching of your holy word, the preaching of the gospel, and prayer. Glorify your holy name until the day we die. Use us until you're finished with us. And we thank you for what you have already done, which we were reminded of this past week. And we are amazed at what you've done with us, in spite of us. And we thank you, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We pray that by the power of your holy word preached, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lost souls would be saved, open blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. And Lord, strengthen every person in this place who has a job to do. Crucify everybody's flesh. Fill everybody with the power of your Holy Spirit. Save that soul that is nearest hell. Save those souls that are nearest hell. Revive every Christian. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Ewing said, hard work spotlights the character of people. Some turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all, and that is so true. In our previous two lessons, we looked at the original environment and the original circumstances in which man was to carry on his God-ordained work. Contrary to the perspective of most people today, work was not originally negative or hard. Work was not necessarily stressful for Adam. I do believe that part of the curse is stress. I don't care what kind of job you get. I don't care what kind of situation you're in. Stress is built in. Many people think that church work is stress-free. That's a lie. And as the old saints, the old mothers of the church used to say, the devil is a lie. Some of the hardest work on earth is church work, because you have the added stress of the devil constantly attacking you, buffeting you, and trying to hinder you. You ask any hardworking church group, and they'll tell you that Murphy's laws kick in double down at the church. Strange things happen. Strange things happen on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. But work was still work before the curse. The nature of work changed only when Adam and Eve sinned. God judged Adam for his sin, stating, "Cursed," or "cursed," "is the ground for thy sake." "Cursed" sounds better, that's why I said it. "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." I don't care what you do, it's cursed. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. This is why people drag into work on Monday mornings and they run out of work on Friday evenings. Blue Mondays and TGIF on Friday. "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee." Every time you put your hand down into the work, something's going to stick into your hand. Something's going to cause some pain. Many people go to work in pain. They love to see football players play in pain because they have to work in pain. There are people who have to take an Advil in the morning and then an Advil at night just to go to work. Some people have thick braces underneath their clothes on their for their backs. Some have knee braces because work is hard. You say, "Well, how about work at the office? It's hard too." How about work for the owner and the CEO is harder. I know you don't think so, but that kind of stress is big time. Most people would rather just work a job than be the owner of it or be the CEO of it. The Bible says, "And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." You say, "Well, preacher, how about preaching? Do preachers sweat? You better believe it. I'm sweating right now. My shirt will be soaking wet when I get through. Oftentimes I have to change immediately unless I catch pneumonia." The old preachers always, whether it was spring, winter, fall, or summer, they would have a hat to put on their heads and a change of clothes before they left the church, lest they get sick, because they were sweating in the pulpit preaching the word of God. Somebody said it, and I believe it's true, that preaching a message for 1 hour is like working 8 hours. I believe it with all of my heart. Don't you doubt it till you do it. The authors of the Theology of Work Bible Commentary write, "All in all, human beings will still do the work they were created to do, and God will still provide for their needs. But work will become more difficult, unpleasant, and liable to failure and unintended consequences." Unintended consequences. It is important to note that when work became toil, it was not the beginning of work. Some people see the curse as the origin of work. But Adam and Eve had already worked the garden. They were dressing the garden. They were getting out into the sunlight and doing some work in the garden. What a beautiful situation that must have been. Is that the reason, that was the original work for the first man and the first woman? Is that the reason we have a bunch of green thumb folk in our society and even in the church? Folks who still like to get into the garden and get their hands down into the dirt. Folks who have 15 grocery stores around their mini mansion, but yet they have got to have them a garden in their beautiful manicured backyard on the left side of the pool. Is that the reason why folks still like to go and buy seeds and plant things? My mother Tempe had a beautiful house, the real white house. She had the most beautiful house on the hill, on James City Hill. Had a big old beautiful fence around it. No one had it like Mother Tempe. But she had her garden, had beautiful lush green grass. But she had a garden. She was always tending her garden, always had a little shovel and so forth, and digging up things, planting things. And she would try to tell us little whippersnappers what this was and that was and all of that. But all we were interested in is eating whatever. Mm-hmm. We did our gardening down at the store, down at Combos. And she prided herself in her garden. She kept it beautiful. And there are people like that today. people, there are some people doing it out of necessity because they know there are so many chemicals in plants today that you get fruits and vegetables today at the store. They want something natural right out of the ground. And then some are doing it for another reason. They're doing it because they are concerned that things are getting ready to get crazy in the world. And so they have a garden just in case. While everybody else is hunting and fighting over tomatoes, they're going to go to their garden and get their tomatoes. Fighting over turnips, no worries. They're just going to pull it out the ground. Work, ladies and gentlemen, is not inherently a curse. And we all know that. You hear me and you hear me well. Be it business work, field work, cable work, housework. Everybody knows there's nothing quite like having a job to do and getting it done. There's nothing quite like working and working well and having the satisfaction of doing a day's work. But the curse affects the work now. In fact, work becomes more important as a result of the fall. Not less because more work is required now to yield the necessary fruits, the necessary results. End of quote. The curse of sin does not give us an excuse to loathe work. Instead, as saved people, as Christians, as believers, we recognize that Jesus has removed the curse for us. The Super Bowl will be played in a few hours. I'm pulling for my out-and-out Christian brothers on the out-and-out Christian coach on the Philadelphia side, even though I really can't stand Philadelphia because they're in the same league as the Dallas Cowboys. I've never liked their mean green uniforms. They look ugly to this day. Since I was a little boy, I've hated the Eagles and their stadium and everything about them. But there are a whole bunch of Christians on the Eagles team, including the coach. And I'm pulling for them. I would encourage them not to push Brady over the edge. Do not say stupid things to Tom Brady. Don't let him hear it. And you might have a chance. But if you provoke him in any way, he has, like no one else, that killer instinct. And when he brings that forehead in tight, you're in a world of trouble. The Super Bowl is going to be played. Lord willing, if the Lord says the same here in a few hours. And you know why we like it? We like it because those fellas have put their whole lives into it. They have worked hard. You know they have worked hard. Look how physically fit they are. How toned. They have sacrificed. They've worked their behinds off. And there's nothing more glorious than to see somebody who's worked hard for something and they get to the top time and time and time again. Belichick does not have that stern look on his face for nothing. It's built in to his face forever. I believe he goes to bed like that. I believe he wakes up with that stern look. The commentators kid him because he can lead his team to score a winning touchdown with 2 seconds to go, and he still has that stern look on his face. And the commentators joke and say, well, Belichick is excited. Why does he have that stern look? Belichick is a worker. He does not play. That's why he wins all the time. Belichick is the kind of person that once he wins the Super Bowl, he'll enjoy the flight back that evening and be trying to call folks for a meeting the next day, getting ready for next year. Work. Work. The reason why we love Tom Brady is because of work. In fact, their motto is, do your job. Amen, somebody. The New England Patriots motto is, do your job. Do your job. The reason why we honor and still love Michael Jordan is because he shot 1,000 shots before game. Hundreds of three-pointers before the game. So when the chips are down and he's playing Cleveland, he's at the top of the key with everybody and their mama in his face. All that work, all that work, all that work pays off. Bam-a-lam with 1 second left, with no time left, rather. 0-0. We love to see that because we know the folks put the work in. But back to the text, ladies and gentlemen. We no longer walk under the curse of sin, so we do not have to maintain a negative attitude and a negative perspective about work. Many of us who used to be professionals at skating on work, doing the least amount of work you possibly can do. You don't have to be that way as a child of God. We ought to go to work. We ought to go to our work, whatever it is, striving to honor God through it. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as a Michelangelo painted or a Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Can God in heaven say that about you, that you did your job well? The devil, of course, will always be on hand to try to get us to shun hard work. I believe the devil is lazy. That is evident in how he tries to copy God on everything. I don't believe the devil has had an original thought since maybe the Garden of Eden. If then. But that is the work of our old man and our sinful flesh listening to the devil. Our new man in Christ knows that when we are engaged in productive work, we are doing God's will and original intention of his perfect creation. And so, beloved, if you struggle with the sin of sloth, laziness, or any sin, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. And by the way, for you young people, if you're in college, do your work. Do your job. And contrary to what the professor may even tell you, read those expensive books so that you can truly be educated. Don't just skip around. Get a complete education while you're in college. Read those expensive books. Books that cost $100, books that cost $60, books that cost $77, you better read those books. And if you don't read them now while your mind is young and like a sponge, you will never read them. I hope that one day somebody will tell the truth and tell the people that will bury them to bury all of the unread books with them that they said they were going to read throughout their lives, and put on the tombstone the man who intended to read his books but never did. Be that as it may, beloved, let's have a word of prayer, and then let me share something with you. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word, your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for speaking to our hearts once again. The preaching of your holy word is absolutely amazing. It still is. It has never lost its power or its influence. We stand amazed at your preached word and what it does. It does things that we cannot even put our finger on. But we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And Holy Father God, help us not to be slothful. Help us not to be lazy. Help us not to let opportunities pass by us. And Lord, help us not to be lazy to trust you as Savior. Help us not to be dilatory in that. Help us not to be slothful in that. And help us to hurry up and trust you as Savior before it is eternally too late. And this evening may be too late if we wait, because we may die, or you may come. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, my beloved, if you, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, Jesus Christ has a word for you. He said it to Nicodemus one night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he died for your sins, he shed his precious blood, which we talked about in our first communion service this morning. He shed his precious blood on the cross for your sins. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul this morning, believing in your heart in him. For the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, ladies and gentlemen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is how I got saved nearly 40 years ago. I had 1 foot in the club, 1 foot in religion, not Christianity, not even the church, because I hated the church, hated going to church, hated preachers, because my dad was a preacher. If God can save me, is what I'm saying, God can save you. Are you willing to trust Christ as Savior today? If so, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your commandments in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. My sins of stealing, my sins of lying, my sins of lusting after other human beings and other things. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away my sins and the sins of the world, who died for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I think. That's not what you think. That's not how you feel. You may still feel funny. You may still feel guilty. But the Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you, call on his name, he will save you. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.